So today I want to go into a bit more detail issues around the social consensus, politics, how we find our way in a very difficult world of social action and consensus and views. And it's not easy, the whole thing, and we already saw in this discussion before how it's simply not easy to make our way inside all the possible conflicts and all the possible issues. We're not clear, very often we're not clear when somebody sort of gives a view and we feel the opposite view, or we're not sure what view we have, or we can't answer, and then we feel something somehow. Oh, well, the Dharma doesn't really work because I can't answer this person, or we're confused about social issues. And we've heard this evening, and I've given a lot of positive, approach to being confused in these situations. It's all right to be confused in these situations. It's part of the game, in a way. And it's actually, in some way, healthy and honest not to have views and not to believe in views and not to stand on things, but it can be painful. And on the other hand, we often feel we're not wise enough. We just don't have enough wisdom to deal with the daily life situations. And there was such a big cry for help in the last war in Gaza from very peace-minded people that got really lost and didn't know how to relate to the fact that everybody was in this consensus view that we are right. And it was a painful consensus view, and many people, peace-oriented people, just didn't know what to do and felt lost and helpless in the face of that. And there's many, many issues around that. Very many issues around intentions. When you feel intentions of people, but it doesn't seem to work, something goes wrong, even though they have intentions. And a lot of politics is based on good intentions, but somehow it doesn't work. And so it's a challenge for us. Where are we with that? There's many challenges here. I actually liked David Loy's articles, and which is why I sent them to you, because he looks at these issues and the social issues that give us problems, including politics. He looks at them from a more Dharma point of view, and he picked out that when you really don't know where you are with it all, look at the powers of greed, hate and delusion. That greed, hate and delusion are three fundamental forces that keep the whole of the karma and samsara going. It's greed, hate and delusion that are the center of Paticca-samuppada, the wheel of life. If you remember the picture, in the middle of the wheel of life, all the 12 stages of the wheel of life, of the Paticca-samuppada, in the middle is greed, hate and delusion. That's the engine that drives the whole of samsara, that's the engine that drives karma, that's the engine that keeps building buildings, netiyot, things that we delight in, attachments and so on, they all come from there. And so we need to address them directly. I don't like the translation of greed, hate and delusion because they're just not good words in English or in Hebrew, but it's hard to find other words because they are huge territories. So greed is everything. I'm just going to sort of throw, you know, a huge bunch of things. The greed is all the side of wanting to be, wanting to have, needing, desiring, ambitions, wanting to do, wanting to change, wanting to live, wanting things basically to be in a certain way. It's the what we talked about before, the eight dat tovlirali. Tovlirali. It's the, that side. And it includes so much. It includes the whole of the self. It includes needing to be somebody, attachments to I want to be me, and I don't want to lose myself. Therefore, the attachment to selfing is there. Attachment to wanting to be, to my views, to my beliefs, to my netiyot, we talked about. All of that is actually under the whole basket, huge basket of things that I need and want and depend on and define. And it is endless. And that's why the word greed is not a good word. I mean, for example, one of the things we need is knowledge. We need to know what's going to happen. It's basic, need in life. I need to know what's going on. I need to know how to protect myself and my children. I need to know what might happen in 5 minutes or next or tomorrow. I need to have security of the known, of understood what life is, who am I. So it's all of these things are under that category of what I need, what I want, and there's a direct antidote to wanting. All of this wanting is dana. Dana is going in the opposite direction. Dana is letting go, is giving, is donating, is offering, is saying I don't need, is vitur gam, renunciation, is an act of dana. My example of this, and this has been yesterday, after weeks in the winter that I just haven't had time. Yesterday I went into the vegetable garden, Ganier actually, and spent the day weeding, planting, looking after the vegetables. And it's such a non-dual Ishnu activity, because I am giving dana to the vegetables and they give dana back to me. I am looking after them, so they look after me, so I look after them, so they look after me. Who is looking after who? I cannot tell you. Amy, I have no idea. We're looking after each other. I really feel it like that, as a kind of a cycle. And that's an antidote to the what's called the one of the three poisons, of the three zihumim, or ra'alim in the Buddhist language. The second aversion is similar but the opposite. What I don't want, what makes me angry, what makes me atzpanut, irritated, what I don't feel like, it's rali, it's adat rali, ra. It's also depression, down, it's also rikshay asham, it's also negativity, it's also hitnagduyot, resistance. And where wanting is wanting the world to be in a certain way, aversion is not wanting the world to be in a certain way, obviously. So we don't want the body to get sick. It's aversion. I don't want my body to get sick, so I'm busy with it, and I'm thinking, and if the body does get sick, I'm against it, I'm fighting it, I'm doing it, I'm did it, I'm busy with it. I don't want to die, I don't want to be old, I don't want change. Mostly, change is threatening to us. Mostly. We want things to stay the same way, we don't want change. And that's part of aversion. We don't want violence, we don't want pain. Fear is aversion also. We don't want uncertainty, lo yadua, halo yadua, iyadia, we don't like. We don't want things, we don't want to be nothing. One of the big problems, we talk about non-self, anatta, but we're terrified of non-self. It's the most terrifying thing we can imagine to be enlightened. Because we fall through the hole. It's like falling into the rabbit hole of Alice in Wonderland. It's, where are we then? Thankfully, there's lots of compensations. But non-self is scary. It's idiya, it's no niani. Who am I? I need me. I need myself. I need the known. Ayadua. So that's aversion. And the direct antidote of aversion, of course, is love and metta and compassion. It's the medicine, direct medicine. And the third of the poisons is delusion. And this is really about our world of beliefs, and mostly that we believe the world to be as we see it, and it cannot be as we see it. And my dog believes the world to be as she sees it. Well, who's right? My dog or me? But we both see the world in a totally different way. It reminds me of this story of Nasruddin. One day, a neighbor comes to Nasruddin and says, someone stole my donkey. I think it's you. You stole my donkey. And Nasruddin said, I didn't steal your donkey. And just then, the donkey was in the next room and made the sound. And the neighbor said, you see, it's my donkey my donkey is here. You took it. And Nasruddin said, you want to believe me or believe my donkey? Or believe the donkey? So, the world, it cannot be like we think it is. The world cannot be like we think it is, and we forgot that we're conditioned. We forgot that we build all the, nityot, aninu. We forgot that we built this house, the Buddha said he destroyed, and then we live inside it and believe that it's ours. We forgot all that. That's delusion. We think this is the reality, but it's belief. And the world of delusion is the world of automatic pilot, of tayas automati, of doing things, keeping things the same because they're convenient like that. It's shutting down, it's escape from one reality, wanting to run away, going to, because they're nice holidays instead of facing our truth. It's best to do both, face our truth and go on holiday. But escaping anyway from suffering and thinking that we can escape from suffering. It's believing in control. It's believing that we control ourselves and we control nature, like science is big delusion. I know because I'm a scientist, I was a scientist. It's belief in control, that we are in charge of nature. All sorts of things, all confusions, helplessness, dreaminess, cloudiness, lostness, confusion, bilbul, many different aspects of delusion. But fundamentally, it's believing in an unreal world to be real. And of course, the antidote, direct antidote for that is mindful awareness, is waking up into the moment. So I want to just talk, I think that David Loy did a good job here by showing how most things in the modern society are based on greed, hate and delusion. Mm. And so I just want to go through some of the examples that he gave or I gave. I remember driving in California. I was there teaching in the high-tech Silicon Valley one summer. I was teaching Dharma there. And I was driving every day along Route 101. And there was this huge sign that you pass on 101, enormous sign like the size of this room, with a hamburger on it, and it was a McDonald's advert, and it said, "Crafted for your craving." Yes. For your craving. Craving. We're designing the hamburger specially to increase your craving, your greed. And it really is unbelievably like that. It's unbelievable when you look at the world around us how much belief there is in consuming. I'm shocked in Nauria. This little town, Nauria, has four canyonim. Four canyonim. And they just built another one in the best place in Nauria, which could have been a garden or it could have been so many things. The entrance to Nauria, a fourth one was just built. Huge, huge. And the same shops are in all three. I mean, there's like, what's going on? For this poor miskinim, you know, in Nauria, it's crazy. Four canyonim within 3 kilometers. It's just that there's nothing else to do except that, and it's sad. There's a sadness in it because it's an escape from pain, and you see the greed happening there, in the giving and given legitimacy by the society. You see that. You know, how the minute people stop buying so much, everyone gets into a panic. When the answer to, if people don't buy, everything collapses. So they're trying to make sure that people buy. And waste. And it's really hard. I must say, it's very hard to annoy me. But I did get annoyed 2 weeks ago, I think it was. Was it 2 weeks? I went to Eilat to be with my family because the husband of my daughter Tamarin was performing there with a Camry. And he was a clown, so it was a show for children. He was clowning with the Camry. He was clowning as Bach. He was did a caricature of Bach, and but I was in a hotel, which I haven't been in a proper hotel for really a long, long time. The hotel was packed with people, and everybody except the Camry musicians, I noticed, but everybody else, they would take a huge quantity of food, plates and plates and plates, they'd take a little bit of that, and the rest thrown away. Yeah. Yeah. And I went to the head of the hotel. I said, how can you do this? You know, confrontation, not just feel bad about it. And he said, there's nothing, we're not allowed, the Ministry of Health doesn't allow us to recycle the food. Mm-hmm. It's all thrown in the rubbish bin. And it made me really feel disgusted.
Yeah.
It's just disgusting. So I was as close as I can get to being annoyed by this. The whole thing, it's never enough. And the whole thing about money and the money issue, it's crazy. It's simply crazy. There's a crazy obsession about money. An unbelievable craziness. And it's all believed to be okay. Everyone is in a dream. Like in a kishuf.
That
these
under spell. But these pieces of paper, and the more you have, the more happy you'll be. It's an unbelievable kishuf. And that's how a whole society runs. I was very happy to see. I was doing a small project on herbs recently. Someone asked me. I don't do this work anymore, but someone asked me to do a small job, and it was about a Bedouin in the Shtachim that found a herb that cured his cancer. Mm-hmm. And so they asked me to do some research on the herb and what it is. And
what's the name of the herb?
It's Sharbitan Matsui. Oh. And so I helped some people who a project to get it going as a research project. But the beautiful thing was, this Bedouin, people said to him, he gives this herb, he makes the herb at home and gives it free to anybody that comes, Israelis, Palestinians, whoever comes, he gives it. He boils it, he does all the work, he gives it free. And I saw a YouTube video of this guy, and he said, and someone said, you can get rich from giving this medicine. He said, money? Who needs it? Obviously, he has nothing. He's in his goats. He's a goat herder. He's a Roye
Son.
This is why he found, because his goats were eating this when they were sick. This is how he found the medicine. He said, the health is so much more important. Let people take it. If I can do some good in the world, I don't want money. He has no money. He's a Roye Son. But it was so beautiful to sort of hear such a different view. And it makes you wake up and say, So that's all desire, the greed aspect. And I thank also David Loy for pointing out some of the aversion aspect of our life. How I was shocked to read when he said that America has the equivalent of 150,000 Hiroshima bombs. 150,000 Tzatzot Atom, or some lot, that number of bombs, but that power of all the bombs in America is equivalent to 150,000 shell. Now, I was in Hiroshima many years ago. I went there and I spent one day standing in the place where the bomb fell and crying the whole day. I couldn't stop crying. I was just standing in that place. And, it's assumed, well, that's life, it's assumed it's okay somehow. It's a consensus in the world, people still making atomic weapons, everybody, it's okay. The consensus is the issue.
No, for America, it's only okay that America makes it, its allies, not everybody.
Everyone thinks it's okay for themselves.
Right.
And it's so much that the aversion is, the anger, the hate, how much aversion there is in the Knesset. I mean, unbelievable the language they used to. I don't really listen that much, but when I hear what goes on there, like, whoa, it's so much pain of aversion and anger and reactivity and
alimut.
Hate and alimut and yeah. So we can't get out of it. It's so much a consensus, us and them, like I said, we've been 100 years in this war state, more or less, in this part of the world, here, with neighbours. No one can stop it. And the delusion aspect is the corporate aspect, the media aspect that David Lloyd points out. It's really helpful to see how what fuels it is illusion. You can be like that if you buy this. You will be, if you buy this Coca-Cola, you'll be bubbly like like young people in the Coca-Cola adverts. You will be like them. It's the advertising, the marketing, the lies that are told, and that beautiful phrase that in David Lloyd's article, that politicians give false information to journalists and then believe what they read in the newspapers. Mm. It's a beautiful line. So what about us in all of this? What's our role? And I think one of the we covered it earlier in the discussion, we have to have a really clear view of what it is we're feeding. It's really important to be careful and be understanding. What is it that we are feeding? What views are we feeding? Don't forget, the word upadana, heyachzut, in the Pali, is what is feed. Feed, to lazim. What kind of views are we feeding in ourselves and in others? What views are we supporting? What views or consensus are we allowing by just saying, it's okay like this, it's okay, this is the way things are? Are we giving our voice to that in some way? Are we supporting by our silence some of these things, by not saying anything? It's just a question. In fact, it's really, really a good question for all of us to wake up in the morning and we go to bed at night. What am I feeding? Why it's a good question, why it's better than in some way than herzut, attachment, is the feeding is a long-term process. It's like, what feeding is where I'm going. It's more subtle than attachment. Attachment is greed, yes, money. But what's the feed? What am I feeding? What mitiyot? The tendencies am I feeding? What views in other people am I feeding? It's a good question to keep asking us. And when we look, and we need to look really, really carefully, and it's really hard to do this. We already discussed how difficult it is to do it. And you have to understand why it's difficult to do it. And why all of us fall down in this. The reason is that we are made by others. We are made by others. We are not isolated boxes. Because we are made by others, it's really hard for us to be clear about how to be different or what is the poison of greed, hate and delusion and what is not. Because we internalize it, we are built by the society. Just by being, you know that, by being Israeli, you begin to think certain things like Israelis think, and you don't even notice that you're doing it. Me being English, Israeli, English, more English than Israeli, I'm thinking things like what I, you know, what kinds of things that come from my past and so on. It's really hard to see and notice them. We're built by others. We're built by karma. And we have to keep seeing it. And your question again and again. Yes, see the fear or anger that when it comes, again and again and again. Ah, here is a mirror. Thank you. Because it's so difficult to see it. So please don't be despaired if you find yourself caught in the social consensus just by knowing that you're part of your identity is built by others. So we can't be despaired, we shouldn't be despaired, we should be clear that the karma is building us all the time. Mm-hmm. And we have to just be very, very aware and free to see what's going on. And somewhere or other, a strong sense of goodness, kusala, to be wholesome, to be beautiful in our life. Kusala. A strong sense of what it means to lead a beautiful life, to lead a pure life. We have to keep feeding that. And it's many different things. It's our morality, it's our kindness, it's our hopes and wishes for the way, it's our wanting to reduce suffering in the world, wanting us and others to be happy. It's all of those things are kusala. We need to see karma working. How the anger, our anger makes us and others suffer. Our peace makes us and others happy. Very simple. Watching it again and again and again, the way karma works. And a strong sense of kusala. Did I sent you the article from the Aborigine, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's quite a sweet article, because I met this guy in India, the Aboriginal sheikh of his tribe. And one thing I really liked in that article was the story of the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And, the young people came to the woman, the old woman, and said, What's going to happen? She said, birds are going to fly out from under the ground and fly into the... And white birds will fly away. And they said, well, what's going to happen after that? She said, white people are going to come through the earth and take over the land and destroy everything. Everything will burn. And they were all scared. And then they said, and there's no hope then? She said, yes, there is hope. And the rain will come and everything will grow again. And they said, who is the rain? And she said, you are. So I can say that to all of you now. You are the rain. We are the rain. What is the rain? So us and kusala is the rain. Wholesomeness is the rain. And in our own world, we heal. In our own ways, we heal the world. And we can appreciate that. And in the finally, we have to understand that non-engagement is not an option. And the reason it's not an option is not as a pressure on us that we must go out in the streets and demonstrate, and we must, I wish we all would, but go to the Mahsomim. But the reason it's not an option is that we are engaged already. And that's something that we have to understand. We are already engaged because being a human being in this world, we are constantly engaged with others, with ourselves, with people we meet, with the world around us, with our children, animals, whatever. Every thought is an action. Every action, every word goes somewhere. So we are already engaged fully. And therefore, it's not an option to say, well, I any koach to engage politically. You don't have to go to stand outside parliament if you don't. But we have to be aware that we're already engaged, therefore, to be honest and say, I'm going to bring more kusala manifestation a lot of what we can do is simply dialogue, talking, communicating, sharing. We can be teachers of other people without calling ourselves Dharma teacher. We can just remember that the Dharma is going to come out of us whether we like it or we don't like it. It will come out of us anyway, because in the spontaneous moment we're constantly emanating, acting, thinking, words, feelings, looks in the way our eyes look. We're constantly there in the world. So it's coming out of us, the Dharma, and also our ignorance. It's all the time being expressed. So all if we have a sense of kusala, it will come in the world in one way or another. And a final word is that I think we need a lot of compassion. Instead of blame the politicians, and you know, it's too easy to blame them, then we become, if we blame and we think it's them, then we're part of the problem, not part of the solution. Instead of that, as Pini was saying before, some compassion is needed because they are us, we are them. They are caught in the same karma. They are swept along by delusion. But who does not have delusion here? We all have borut. And so we need compassion for ourselves and for others. And as you were saying, Asi, it's not easy because there's so many tendencies we don't even see in ourselves. So it's not an easy journey. But compassion is definitely a kind of a bottom line for us. It's like a default place to be. It always heals. It always works. It always helps, compassion. When things feel too much, then compassion is always there for us.